Welcome, welcome, welcome to the SevHub podcast. I'm MK Sullivan.
And I'm Dani Moreno. And we have a very exciting episode for you all today. We are joined by Bill Armstrong. He is a lifelong runner, an entrepreneur, but maybe what he is most well known for is he is the CEO and co-founder of Never Second, our partner.
Yeah. And Never Second originated when Bill and his wife, Lauren, struggled to find scientifically validated nutrition for their daily workouts and races. So they teamed up with Dr. Oscar Yoikin Group, who you will learn a little bit more about in the podcast, but he's one of the kind of like top guys in this realm. And they recognized and aimed to rectify the prevalence of misinformation in the industry.
Yeah. And it was super fun just really digging deep into the brand philosophy with Bill. We talked about their wide array of products, mainly the C-Series system. So C stands for carbs. They talk about how that's a modular system, how you can piece it together, etc., and how you can customize it for performance, like in training, racing, etc. So it's really cool how you can pick and choose. And it's kind of, yeah, he talks about the ingredients and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was a very impressive, interesting interview, and it was very enlightening to hear, as an athlete at least, how much science has gone into this brand, as well as the creation of its products. They seem to really care about the individual athlete. Bill talks a bit about like connecting with people on a personal basis, and how they only put out products if there is truly a need for it, and not necessarily just to like get a new product every year, every annual fiscal year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you are interested in science and facts backing your nutrition for everything that is your endurance sport, obviously we're focused on running here, but they also, these products can be used in any sort of endurance sport. Listen to this podcast. Bill just is a wealth of knowledge. He answers all of our questions, which we really appreciated. We had a lot of questions for him. And yeah, we just both walked away from this conversation being huge fans of him, Lauren, and just the brand in general. They are doing some cool stuff there. Enjoy this podcast.
And side note, hopefully we will be doing a Q&A at some point with Bill and Lauren, or just Bill. So be on the lookout, probably on Instagram, for some questions that we want to hear from you guys for the brand.
Yeah. So as you're listening to it, think of those questions, write them down and send them over, because we'd love to have them on for another podcast to talk about Never Second.
Yeah. Enjoy. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Never Second. The brand came on the market 2 years ago, as some of you may have already noticed, and since then they've had huge success in the endurance world. They started in cycling and triathlon, and now they're working with some of the biggest names in trail running, like UTMB champions Katie Scheid and Jim Walmsley. Never Second is an easy-to-understand fueling system because they help athletes determine when to take their nutrition and how much to take, which is incredibly important in any endurance sport. Never Second uses a modular system that allows you to create the exact carbohydrate formula for your need and activity. Their products are meant to be mixed and matched so that you can have 30, 60, 90, or even 120 grams of carbs per hour. As a professional athlete, I was introduced to Never Second about a year ago after a rough race at the Mont Blanc Marathon. I was trying to take in gels that required a lot of water, but without a crew and the fact that there weren't enough aid stations to adequately match my intake, it became quite the struggle of a day. After that experience, I started using Never Second in training because their liquid gels weren't as sticky and require less water and are much easier to get down, making my race day and training nutrition immediately more successful and simple. Their gels also contain 200 milligrams of sodium, which is a real bonus on hot days and especially humid days if you're me. And if you want to try Never Second, just head to neversecond.com. That's never, N-E-V-E-R, number2.com, N-E-V-E-R, number2.com, and use code SUBHUB25 for a 25% discount on all of your orders.
Hi, Bill. Welcome to the SUBHUB pod. We're so excited to have you today.
Thank you very much. It's nice to see you both.
Yeah.
So we've spent a lot of time talking with you over the last couple months, but a lot of people probably don't know who you are. So tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what experience you're bringing to the industry, and what inspired you to create Never Second.
Okay, a lot of questions. I'll see if I can answer them all. My name is Bill Armstrong. I'm based in New York. As a background, from a sports perspective, I'm a former endurance runner, long distance runner. Going back about 20 years, I had started my first company. Back then, I focused on product development. I worked with a lot of global brands. Was lucky enough to have that business acquired back in 2018 and exited that business in 2019. What I did was basically build products for brands, everything from the engineering all the way through manufacturing and delivery of the product to the brand's warehouse. I tried a short stint of retirement after that and I realized that I really missed working with people. And I love the product development side, love the endurance community. And that was kind of the genesis behind starting Never Second. We started Never Second back in 2020 as an idea. And then launched live in 2021. And it's been about a 2.5 year ride, fantastic ride that we've been on ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember that summer and the brand launch and everyone getting really excited about, who's this new face in the space and the industry, et cetera. And I'm curious, like, what gap did you intend to fill by creating Never Second?
Well, that's a great question. I think, having done a company once before, one of the first questions we asked when we started the brand, I mean, we obviously did a little bit of background research and most directions when we're talking about performance nutrition pointed to Oscar Jeugendroep, who's a well-known Dutch scientist. He's the global authority in performance fueling and performance nutrition for a lot of athletes around the world. In some of our initial dialogue around starting Never Second was, well, is there a reason for this brand to exist? I mean, I'm old enough to remember the original Power Bar from the 1980s. I've seen a lot of brands come and go and on the market, coming in as a new brand. I was well aware of brands like SIS and Morton, Scratch Labs. I mean, there's dozens of brands in the space. And so early on, Oscar and my wife Lauren, who's my partner in the business and in life, we asked the fundamental question, is there space for a new brand and what new value are we bringing to athletes around the world? And I think Oscar, I certainly credit him with, he has a lot of experience. He really says it best, a lot of wisdom. He said, look, for the last 30 years that he's been involved and kind of leading global research in this arena, fundamentally, he said, a lot of the athletes really aren't fueling any better than they were. They're just the brands are changing, new products, but there's really no system for success. And the brands are kind of running around saying take a gel or take a bar or take a drink mix, but there's kind of no one's really answering the questions of when to take your nutrition and how much to take. And so I think the real unique value that we're bringing to the market as Never Second is not just premium products for endurance athletes, but then also creating a system, a blueprint, so that athletes can effectively train and perfect their nutrition so that they can leverage it for their best performances and use them for their advantage as opposed to a liability. A lot of athletes inevitably, and as we all know, have a lot of fueling problems. A lot of performance problems fundamentally relate to fueling or hydration or nutrition as a whole. And so Never Second is really aiming to help athletes perform better, athletes of all types, all abilities. Through a systematic approach to fueling and hydration that is, we believe, quite innovative in this current day and age.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, to have Oscar Jeugendroep, he's has been is editor in chief of the European Journal of Science. member of the editorial group of International Journal of Sports Medicine. I mean, the list goes on. Personally, I'm a big fan. I look at his website, My Sports Science, all the time for blog posts, etc. I'm just curious, like, what that conversation was like. Did it take a lot to convince him to partner with you to create Never Second, or was he was like, I'm down, I'm ready to do this with you?
I'd probably have to ask him. I think he was excited. I think from my perspective, I think he was really excited about the idea of taking a lot of his thought process and taking that knowledge and converting it into a practical brand for people. I think that's really the most interesting part from I'm just imagining things from Oscar's perspective, but seeing this kind of idea. You know, my background is both creative. We do a lot of graphic work and product development work. And I think it's kind of a bit of a dream team when you look at it. It's because Oscar brings this top tier scientific knowledge. I mean, he's the globally renowned researcher in the space. And then you combine that with my wife, Lauren, and I. We again have collective 50 years of experience in developing products. So there is this kind of marriage of the scientific knowledge and combining that with incredible product development, which we know what to look for. I think, you know, as we started to really enter the space and look at what other brands are doing, I'd like to think that we're doing a really good job of developing products that are as close to perfect for athletes as possible, and at the same time, humble enough and curious enough to consistently and constantly innovate and improve them. And I think that's something that we've seen a lot of as well during the space. There's a lot of brands that have the same products that haven't changed for 10, 15, 20 years. And from our perspective, we always have to look at it like we're at something like this, saying, okay, we have to constantly be innovating and improving our products. I mean, even our gels, which are widely considered among the best energy gels globally right now from a performance perspective, the biggest complaint we had in 2022 was that the packages were hard to open. And so for us, it was kind of like, okay, we have to improve this because, you know, you're hearing it from a few athletes, then it was hearing it from several athletes, and we're like, okay, if there's a little bit of noise, we have to pay attention to that. So I think from our perspective, we always have to be looking at how do we make the products as good as we can and constantly improve them so that they're always the first choice for athletes.
Yeah, and I think that's important in the sport in general. As you know, the way that we train, the way that we race is always evolving. Like, this sport changes drastically with technology of shoes. And so it makes sense that your nutrition should also be constantly changing with new data, new science. And so I think that's great that that's something that you guys are prioritizing as a kind of backbone of your company, is being open to change and learning new things constantly.
Correct. I think Oscar early on warned that there's always this kind of need that I think a lot of us feel to be experts and to always be right. And I think one of the key philosophies that we carry at Never Second is to always make the best products, focus on the science, and at the same time, know that things are evolving and we're not always right. And there isn't always one answer. And so as a brand, we're really spending a lot of time just kind of making sure that we kind of stay true to those roots and always staying humble in our mission to deliver the best products possible.
Yeah, and I feel like you kind of already maybe expanded on your philosophy a bit earlier, just kind of creating a blueprint and a process that makes more sense and is maybe a little bit more simple to understand for athletes. But I'm curious, like, if there's anything else that you want to add to kind of the philosophy of Never Second, or if how it differs from other performance nutrition brands in the market right now.
I think it's a great question. I think it really opens up also kind of the conversation really around what does this fueling system look like? And I'm going to go back to, again, one of Oscar's and my and Lauren's conversations early on was around what does that system for success look like? Like, it's nice to say we have a system, but if there isn't really a system, then it's not really systematic. So we're always like, what is that system? And is it really valuable? And so Oscar said it best. He said, look, two things have to happen for this system to be effective. One, all the guidelines for endurance fueling are based on 30 gram increments of intake of carbohydrate. So if an athlete's, and this is, as you're exercising for a longer duration, your intake on an hourly basis needs to increase. The global standard is really based on 30 gram increments. And yet he said, yet because all the brands are kind of pushing one product at a time, mostly marketers, not scientists, they're putting out these products that have all sorts of arbitrary values. And so that's really the problem. By the way, a lot of the products also have all sorts of mixed compositions of carbohydrate and other ingredients, so that athletes are fundamentally have very little idea of what they're taking in from a numbers perspective. And then also they're mixing compositions in their stomach, which can cause a higher incidence of gastric distress. And so, coming back to our conversation was like, well, what does it take for this system to work or to be effective? Oscar said, look, the guidelines are based on 30 gram increments. Make products that are based on 30 gram increments. Second, the composition should all be the same for the product. So whether it's a gel or a drink mix or a bar, whatever it happens to be on our fueling selection, they should all use the same 2-to-1 glucose to fructose carbohydrate composition, which is what we do across the entire scope of products, our fueling products, so that an athlete's going out for 2 hours and they want to take 60 grams an hour, they can grab two gels, two C30 gels. Our products are named C30, C60, C90, according to the carbohydrate value of the product. So an athlete, if they're going to go out for 2 hours, they're going to take 60 grams an hour. They can take two C30 gels and water. They could take two C30 servings of C30 drink mix. They could take a serving of drink mix and a gel. There are a lot of different ways to kind of get there. And so what we've really done with this system is we've simplified the calculation so that athletes can merely basically adjust their intake according to what the duration is they're going to require. They also can mix and match the products and really personalize them according to either their preference or based on practicality. So an example, for instance, an athlete may be going on a bike ride and just want to use liquid fuel, they can use our drink mix. If they're a runner and they don't have access to sport drink and they just want to use on-course water, they can use gels, C30 gels and on-course water. So that we basically provided a system that allows them to mix and match the products and personalize their plan.
Yeah, kind of, diving back into the C in the C series. Why is it that you focus on, carb as energy source versus fat?
Great question. Fundamentally, for athletes that are performing at a certain level of intensity, carbohydrate is your preferred energy source. Fundamentally, for a lot of athletes that are performing, like whether it's runners or cyclists, triathletes, fat and other, well, fat, fiber, a lot of different kind of nutrients that can inhibit carbohydrate absorption. So generally speaking, when we're talking about our fueling products, carbohydrate are really the preferred source that we use. So fundamentally, fat is, when you look at each of our products, they're either, in the case of the gels and the drink mixes, there's just pure carbohydrate. And then when you look at products like our bars, the goal when we're developing those is to have as little fat and fiber and protein in those products as possible, so that fundamentally all of those are going to inhibit carbohydrate absorption. So we want to fundamentally focus on pure carbohydrate sources as much as we can.
Yeah. How does the C series system minimize the risk of GI issues? Because obviously we know as endurance athletes and especially runners, that's a huge issue, hot topic, whatever you want to call it, is like, how do I make it through an entire race without my stomach giving out on me? And as somebody who does use Never Second in all of my training and racing, like it has never given me GI issues. And so I'm just curious, like what attributes make it the gold standard for fueling for this sport specifically?
It's a really great question. I think that's your what you're bringing up is kind of like the challenge that the scientific community, scientists like Oscar, when you go back to his original research, the goal for the scientists and for endurance athletes as a whole is to deliver as much energy as you can to the muscles without getting someone sick. That's kind of the challenge. So generally speaking, the more carbohydrate we're able to deliver to the athlete, the better, as long as you don't get them sick. And then, so that's fundamentally why we've landed on 2-to-1. 2-to-1 glucose to fructose. And, we talk about Oscar's original research into this. Multiple transportable carbohydrates is the subject. It's really about, and this goes back to, I guess, one of his initial discoveries. When we start talking about multiple transportable carbohydrates, that's really talking about, and going back to the dark ages of into the like the 90s and earlier. Back then, athletes were using, we're talking about carbohydrate intake. They were using single carbohydrate sources like glucose. And Oscar's research was pivotal because what he started to look at was how do you, if you start to introduce two different types of carbohydrate, are you able to open up a second doorway into the bloodstream? And through different transporters, Oscar was able to discover that, wow, if you start to introduce two different types of carbohydrate instead of one type, you could start to deliver much higher carbohydrate intake values than ever before. And so back then, 30 grams might have been top end. And Oscar's research was pivotal in kind of taking us from 30 grams an hour up to the gold standard today, which is, let's say, 90 grams. A lot of athletes that we work with are taking 120 and even up to 150 grams an hour, which is a whopping amount of carbohydrate. But that research into multiple transportable carbohydrates is the fundamental research that has driven us forward as athletes and as a community. When we talk about how effective our products are, we believe strongly in 2-to-1 glucose to fructose. There are some companies that are speaking about like 1 to 0.8 as a different carbohydrate ratio right now. We think, and a lot of athletes will come to us with these kind of absolute opinions. Like, for instance, so 1 to 0.8, is that better? And is 2-to-1 better? It's a more complicated subject than that in reality. When we talk about intakes of up to 120 grams an hour, which is suffices for 99% of the population, 2-to-1 is a very efficient carbohydrate ratio. By that, meaning that it has a very large percentage is being used by the muscles, and a very small percentage is going into the gut, which is what makes you sick. So that's how we fundamentally landed at 2-to-1 glucose to fructose as the carbohydrate ratio that we use.
So interesting, especially the part about the two types of, carbohydrates kind of splitting up the transport in your body. I did not know that at all.
It's, I mean, it's really fundamental for modern day fueling. A lot of athletes are like, look, setting the science aside, how does it help me? And it's the reality is the intake values are so high today. Athletes are really kind of pushing that threshold, and it's really largely owed to Oscar's research.
Yeah. I'm also curious because a huge part of why I started using Neversegin personally is the fact that they are a liquid gel and not a like gel substance. And I'm wondering if that helps with the gastrointestinal issues also, just having a product that is less I don't know how to describe it.
Viscous,
Viscous, yeah. Or if that's just mostly a water thing for you guys.
It's a great question. I think, and that brings to mind a lot of the things about our products that are kind of like not strictly about the science. Because when we set the science aside, you get into all the other things that make a product great. And that's where I think Lauren's and my talent and expertise comes in handy. We do a lot of research, and a lot of things that go beyond the science. So when we talk about like the carbohydrate ratios and that subject I was just talking about, 1 to 0.8, you can compare to 2-to-1 as an example, and you can say, okay, in a lab, a highly trained professional athlete might be able to take in 150 grams of carbohydrate versus 120. But the reality is, you still need to talk about palatability. It's so sweet at 1.8 that what we have to think about, what's it like after 2 and 3 and 4 and 10 gels? And what typically happens with those high sweetness profiles is the athletes can't aren't they don't sit well after 4 or 5 servings. And so this is the kind of the area, the touch and feel part of the products that we oftentimes have to think about. We generally have this lower sweetness profile with our gels, which makes them more palatable over the long haul. When you talk about the viscosity of the thinness of our gels, when we were deciding, just like we look at all the other brands in the hemisphere, and we look at Morton, which has an extremely thick kind of gel-like gel. You have gels that are kind of more kind of the traditional goo type gels, which are kind of like a thick, really kind of viscous product. And then where things have been going, and in the case of Never Second gels, is this kind of isotonic category of gels, which are these thinner gels that you can take with or without water. Generally speaking, that's going to help with absorption. But beyond that, it's also like, what's the athlete experience like? And most athletes just absolutely love the fact that they can take our gels and get them down easily without having to kind of choke them down with water. And I think that's a real advantage that we think about those little details, even with like the sodium in our gels. A lot of the brands in the market don't consider sodium in their gels don't contain sodium. We use 200 milligrams of sodium per gel. And the reason we do that, everything we do with some semblance of thought. The reason we do that is because we always want to think like, well, sodium really starts to matter in your longer course athletes. So at that point, they should be taking 90 grams or more. And by building in 200 milligrams of sodium, when you start to compound servings of drink mix and gels and some other range of the Never Second C Series products, athletes are able to hit kind of right down the middle of that bell curve of sodium. So when we look at total sodium loss, we're kind of right in the middle of what an athlete should be taking, at least your large percentage of athletes should be taking. And that's kind of how we derive those numbers that we use in the products.
Yeah, there's so much to go into there. That's exciting. Yeah, because I mean, I've been in the sport for close to 6 years, and through that time have tried different things. And you know, there's gels that have no sodium, and then there's also kind of like, I think, a resurgence of interest in electrolytes. I feel that I see a new electrolyte stick coming out every single week on Instagram,
Yeah.
claiming to be the best new electrolytes. And you know, personally know of athletes who add electrolytes to whatever it is that they're taking to get that extra sodium, et cetera. And so I'm curious, like, what is the significance of being able to stick with one type of fueling system, in this case, the C series, instead of mixing, you know, and starting to do kind of like this weird smoothie of nutrition intake during races and training?
That's a really great question, Danny. And it's there are, I see them too. A lot of the new brands that are coming out and with in the electrolyte category. And I think, I've talked to Oscar at length about electrolytes, and we always, as a brand, go back to what does the data show? Look at the testing. And unfortunately, there are a lot of brands that are, again, marketers that are making claims and overhyping ingredients or stories that aren't scientifically backed. And as a brand, we look at this and say it's just another source of confusion for athletes, because a lot of athletes will come to us. For instance, I do a lot of trade show expos, and athletes will come up to us and they'll say, well, is this an electrolyte drink? And then we get into this kind of like, okay, where do we start? This is fueling and electrolyte, and what do you mean by electrolyte, and how much electrolyte do you need? And so, and unfortunately, we're kind of fighting against a current of overhyping and kind of kitchen sink behavior with products, where it's kind of like, put everything in there and you can make lots of claims. But first and probably most important is they're useless to performance. And second is you're actually could be creating new issues. And so a lot of the problems that athletes have are just they start mixing products, and I, you know, folks will ask like, well, how should I be taking Never Second? And we tend to recommend that you treat Never Second products as a closed loop, meaning that you don't mix our products with other products. I mean, we do have athletes that will add like table salt, for instance, to some of our products to increase their sodium intake, but they're usually athletes that have a pretty good handle on what they're doing. But generally speaking, we go down to what does the research show, and we generally recommend not mixing our products with other brands and other products, because if you have an issue, oftentimes if you're doing that, you really don't know what caused the issue. And that's what, so we're kind of in a system of constant improvement where you can perfect and dial in what you're doing. The second you start introducing something in from the outside, you've undone a lot of the good. And so we do see a lot of times on social media and with and communication from other partners we have where they'll have, you know, I was taking a Never Second gel and I took a Clif Bar and mixed it with so this another product. And you know, as a brand, we always have to kind of restrain ourselves from being judgmental. Our goal is not to be judgmental, but it's also to kind of instruct people in the right way. And generally speaking, we do recommend a closed loop system.
That makes sense. And so when creating your powders, you have the C30 powder and the C90 powder for your drink mixes. And I'm curious, why did you create the C90 powder with the same amount of sodium? So the 200 milligrams. Was it just to like provide more flexibility? Because you can make a C90 out of a C30 powder technically, but it's gonna have w way more sodium in it. So tell us a little bit about the decision behind that.
Sure, that's a really great question. I think first of all, our C90 and the C30 both have are the exact same composition. So the maltodextrin and the fructose and the flavor and the sodium source are all the same. We use 200 milligrams in the C90 because we wanted to develop a drink mix that you could consume during cooler months when your sweat rate isn't as high, which will deliver the fuel needs. And at the same time, when your sweat rate is lower, you don't have kind of this overall higher intake of sodium that you don't necessarily need. So that's really the reason behind C90. And we work with a number of world tour teams and riders and professional athletes, and they'll generally use C90. It'll start picking up and using it in kind of like September, October, and that carries them through till May. Like a great example, we'll have like a typical world tour athlete will go on a 5-hour ride in generally cold weather. They'll want 90 grams an hour. They're only sweating out like maybe one bottle an hour, meaning a 500 ml of standard water bottle. And a C90 is going to be perfectly sufficient. And then when we move towards the warmer months, and you start to need to have a higher intake levels, that's where the C30 would start to kick in. We do have athletes that just prefer the C90. They don't sweat out a lot of sodium, and they prefer the C90. And so we also just wanted to be able to give them a couple of choices, so that you have for athletes that don't have a high sodium loss rate, they can use the C90. And for athletes that want a little bit more of sodium in the product, they can build a C90 using C30.
How would you recommend that, not just elite athletes, but all athletes, trail runners, people who are cycling, et cetera, like figure out what their individual needs are? Like, what should they take into consideration besides weather and duration?
That's a really great question. I think that, I mean, when it comes to the one thing is there's no hard, fast rules. I mean, you know, ultimately testing is for any athlete an important consideration and something they need to do. So for instance, we have athletes that when we're talking about fueling, they have steel stomachs, they can take 120 grams an hour. They need very little gut training. And then there are other athletes that really have a hard time taking in more than 70 or 80 grams an hour. We also have to take into account the sports that we're in. I mean, cyclists, generally speaking, can take in more than runners because of the jostling that happens with a lot of the running that, you know, oftentimes can impact the total amount of carbohydrate or intake they can tolerate. When we're talking about sodium, we have to, as a brand, And we have come up with a system that kind of allows us to hit the middle end of the bell curve. Like, we don't want to build in high sodium intake as kind of like a one size fits all approach. We do provide some guidelines through our blogs and through our, education on the website around measuring your sodium. There are some tests also out there in the world that you can fairly at home tests, which are relatively low cost, where you can test and figure out at least roughly what your sodium loss is, not just your total sweat loss. Or are you, like, for instance, a heavy sweater as opposed to are you a heavy sodium sweater? Two different things. One is how much fluid you're losing, the other is actually how much sodium you're losing. There are a small number of athletes, a small percentage of athletes that are heavy sodium sweaters. We wouldn't provide to those to every athlete a protocol to support heavy sodium loss because it's a small percentage of athletes. So in that case, what we do is we can only give kind of visual cues. A lot of athletes, for instance, will notice when they sweat that their clothing is totally white. They're a pretty good sign that that athlete might be a heavy sodium sweater, where they may need sodium supplementation. I'll give you like two athletes, one that come to mind on our own athlete roster are heavy sodium sweaters. And in their cases, they're sweating like, where your average athlete is kind of landing between like 500 and 800 milligrams per hour of loss. They're up in the 2 gram level. So they're 2 to 3 times what most people lose. In those cases, they do need sodium supplementation, especially if they're a longer course athlete. They're out for 8, 10, 12, 18 hours. They're definitely going to need some level of sodium supplementation as part of their protocol. Hope I answered your question there. It is quite somewhat individual dependent, and it's hard to give advice to everybody. There is a little bit of experimentation that we need to have.
Yeah, I guess what I wanted to emphasize there for people is that even as elite and pro athletes, we also have to do trial and error. So in the case of Never Second, like you're going to have to figure out what works for you by trying it out. And the more you know about yourself, for example, I sweat so much my eyes usually burn during races because there's salt in my eyes.
Yeah,
So
I'm the girl who shows up to the grocery store like after a long run just covered in salt, and people are like, "Oh my God, what have you been doing?"
what did you roll around in sand? What is wrong with you? Just being open to that, commit to the process of learning more about yourself and what works for you.
That's a great piece of advice. I mean, that truly is, to me, it's I think that a lot of athletes are coming for kind of like the quick fix. We always kind of we're willing to give answers, but always with an asterisk. Like, you should do this, but many athletes will come and say, "Hey, I want to change my nutrition the day before, but I really shouldn't." And we're like, we have to provide the right advice, which is you shouldn't do this. But if you're hell-bent on doing this, here's some things, here's some cautions and things, some things to look for. So, I think it is a bit of a balancing act for athletes too. And really, it's a matter of discovery, like what works for you.
And I think also emphasizing you and your team, we did all the science, we did all the research. Here you go. Now it's up to you to implement it for yourself.
We try. I mean, I do think that we all, yeah, I was going to thank you. I think that one of the things as a brand, though, it does bring to mind an interesting kind of value. As a brand, I think we come in and looking at the landscape of what other brands offer to athletes. I'd like to think that we're a little bit of an anti-brand in that we're more focused or old school in that we still have kind of old school values, which are a matter of kind of combining premium products with advice. And part of providing advice is being available and providing a service. So if athletes have questions for us, they can reach out to us on the website. They can reach out to us on Instagram, and we will give them a qualified answer that is thorough, I think. And that's, I think, is another thing that we've really tried to do at Never Second in terms of providing a real point of difference is providing high quality advice to athletes, not just products.
I think accessibility is something that you don't get from a lot of brands, so that's really great.
Yeah, I think that's it's a frustration for a lot of people. I mean, we all deal with tons of interactions with brands and services that we're getting, and you try and get an answer from someone, and it's usually an automated answer or a robot or a stock advice, and it's not very helpful. And for us, it's kind of like we see this nutrition, and this is stuff that people are putting in their bodies. It's kind of important to pay attention to that and giving high quality advice that they can rely on is kind of our path to growth, that they really trust us and sense that they have a real partner in us. And that's, I think it's, look, it's a harder path, but it's one that we really believe in.
Yeah. Kind of speaking of sodium for a little bit here still, a bit of a hot topic, at least in the trail running world. It's probably been around in cycling because everything is in cycling before it makes it to us. Sodium bicarbonate is like a hot topic right now. And so I'm curious what your opinion on sodium bicarbonate is, if you feel that it's useful, and if Never Second plans to roll out your own sodium bicarbonate here.
It's a great question. I think when we think about any product that we're going to launch, we have to consider a few things. One, does it offer real value? Two, can it be misused? And three, like the financial side too, is also important. And so for us, we look at the land like bicarb as a product. We know among professional athletes, it's been used for years and years. It has a very specific uses, but if misused, it can cause a lot of GI problems. And so we're aware that over this year, with a couple of bicarb products that have launched in the market, there are a lot of athletes that have complained about having GI problems. And it's actually, I mean, a lot of athletes will look at it and say, okay, I'm going to save the best stuff for my race day, and I've heard this stuff is great. They're going to take it and sometimes pay the consequence. And this, I think this is one of those products that requires quite a lot of education. It's not necessarily going to bring value to a lot of athletes based on their individual circumstances, and all it can do is cause more harm than good. So we look at that and say, okay, what is that going to look like? Are we going to have problems, and we're going to do more harm than good? I'll compare that with our ice gel this past year, that we used the ice gels extensively with professional athletes during a lot of the grand tours in Europe in 2021 and 22. They were really effective, and a lot of athletes were like, hey, you should offer this to consumers. And so we thought hard on it because we were like, well, these are professional cyclists. They have a lot of support. They have soigneurs that can keep things cold for them. And so it's easy to support a professional, but what about an everyday athlete? And so, we elected to launch the ice gels because we felt there is a practical value for hot weather athletes, but we have to pair that with, first of all, making sure the pricing is something that is affordable, and then also making sure we couple that with really high quality education, which we did. And so we had very little negative impact. A lot of athletes absolutely adore and swear by those ice gels. And we'll continue making them again with really a high level of support for the product. To answer your question about the bicarb, based on what I've seen in the market, and it may be a topic of conversation, but there I know of a lot of athletes that have not had a good experience with it. So it's something we would probably not launch in the near future. And if we do, it will be with a lot of education to support it.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that. I feel that when that I've seen those products launched, my biggest question is more information, like how is this working for me, etc. And I find that I had to do my own set of research, which to me says that there needs to be more out there, or at least shown. So thanks for answering that. We really appreciate it. I actually. I'm sure MK is too. I'm really excited about the ice gels because I personally find myself somewhat volunteering for hot races, not on purpose all the time. It just happens. And so I'm curious like where that idea came from and what is the benefit for runners utilizing hot gels? I'm sure everyone's mind is going to Western states, so we'll use Western states as an example.
Okay, yeah, sure. So for professional cyclists, ice gels and ice slushes, and they were, well, I guess, for athletes of all types, but Cycling has really used them quite a bit. They've been used for several years as a slushes. They basically have ice slush machines, and they would deliver ice slushes to the athletes before events, and they would consume them to kind of drive down their core body temperature. So if you're doing like a time trial, it would be a great way for you to kind of, for the short term, drop your core temperature, which there's some evidence to point to. If you're cooling your core temperature, you're going to have some performance improvements. We're in the business of marginal gains, so tenths of seconds or seconds can make a big difference. So the idea behind an ice gel, they've been used in 2021. We used them with a couple of the World Tour teams, and the idea was, well, how could we deliver energy and drive down core temperature? And that is really kind of, and beyond that, you also have the, because one, again, talking about earlier, we talked about like there's more than just the science, it's also perception. And what the perception of having a really cool product or gel in the middle of a blazing hot summer day when you want nothing more than some sense of relief, they've been really welcome for a lot of professionals. We used our, obviously within the World Tour and a lot of the professional cycling and Ironman athletes, we used the ice gels with a lot of success. We also worked with, in Western States, Katie Scheid took advantage of them a bit. And I know they were a welcome relief for her. And so, and we've seen just with other athletes that we've worked with, whether it's running or cycling or Ironman, a lot of the gravel and mountain bike athletes that we work with as well, Keegan Swenson, Sophia Villafan, Russell Finsterwald, they also have been able to use the ice gels really effectively.
When I was in high school, I grew up in Arkansas. It was very hot and humid. And when I was in high school, my coach told us about lowering our core body temp and, like how much that could help. And so we took that as there was a slushy place 2 miles into our 4 mile run, and we would run to the slushy place, down these really sugary slushies, and then run back to the school. So I feel like that's like the same thing. But I will say there's nothing worse in a race, for me at least, than a hot gel or a hot bottle. So the idea of an ice gel, I'm curious, because I imagine that a lot of it might just be like mentally refreshing to have something that cold. Do you find that it actually does also lower your body core temperature?
And it's a great question. I mean, it's hard to measure. That's the fact. I mean, if in the end of the day, if I had to guess, I'm thinking you're like, it's more mental. Okay. And is it actually driving? It's temporarily driving core temperature down for sure. How much it might improve someone's performance? I mean, I can tell you a lot of the World Tour team riders are taking it, for instance, before every stage. The entire team is taking them, because they're looking at it saying, okay, if we even for in a 100 degree weather, if we're able to fundamentally have some relief before we start, because they're hot before they start. And that's also why a lot of them, I don't know if you've seen a lot of them use cooling vests as well, but just trying to temporarily drive their core temperature down, so when they're starting, they're in a pretty good position. So it's hard to measure. We've been asked, can you measure it? It's something that if we had hundreds of or tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars, we could probably test that out to see if it actually, scientifically proves out. Difficult to do, but it's something that I would say is as much mental as anything else. But there is a certain kind of connection, obviously, between mental and performance. So.
Yeah, I think that's it. Being a mental help is a huge thing. Like my coach always tells me when I go into hot races, like the more you think about how hot you are, the hotter you're going to be. Like the more miserable you're going to be. So grabbing like an ice gel, I can like imagine really can help with that like mindset of just being like, okay, I had one cold thing, I can make it to the next aid station.
Yeah, I mean, totally. And like we talk to a lot of athletes after these events, and we're like, look, we love on like brutal honesty, and we don't want people to sugarcoat information for us, because we don't get any better that way. We're just lying to ourselves, and we don't want to do that. And so we take that feedback really to heart. And we did speak to a number of the professionals, and they swear by them. I mean, it's a weapon. It's a cold. It's I mean, it's a hot weather weapon that they use, they feel very strongly about. Hard to keep them cold. That's one of the hardest, probably the most challenging parts, because you really have to have great support for that and have a protocol down for that. A lot of athletes don't have that. For a lot of amateurs, they leave them in their home freezer and they're just like, after a ride, they're like, I just, and it's blazing hot out and they just want some relief. It is a great way to kind of cool off and then also kickstart your recovery, because carbohydrate is also an important part of recovery. So there are some benefits for the amateur athlete as well. We also have a number of retailers that kind of keep them in their cafes. They're like bike shops or and cafes, and they kind of keep them in there for after their group rides. So we've been able to find some uses. I do think that probably the biggest use for the ice gel is going to be on field sports, though, with like American football and soccer, where you have routinely, collegiate and high school athletes dropping on the field with heat stroke. We see that it's probably the biggest market will be the field sports, tennis, soccer, football, where there's just no relief, but you also have the ability to maintain cold on the field, and that's where we probably see the bigger market for the ice gel.
Yeah, I immediately thought of my younger soccer days just cranking on Otter Pops. So if I honestly, I would probably run Western States just to have a bunch of ice gels every 10 miles. That sounds great.
Sounds a good deal, Danny. Sounds a good deal.
I do want to talk about like the role of nutrition and implementing Never Second in regards to post-workout recovery, but kind of as a lead into that, a product that personally I found really exciting on your website is your protein powder, just because it's so hard to find protein powder with the correct amount of leucine to actually like get it to your muscles. And so I'm curious, one, how, like I guess what was the decision behind that? Maybe I kind of led into that. And then also if there's any plans to create a plant-based protein powder.
Great questions. So our P30, which is our current protein product, is a whey protein isolate product. When we were talking about recovery, the team at Never Second felt it was important to launch a protein product that was really a pure protein source, one that is for kind of to increase protein intake around the clock. Makes it something easy for athletes to consume, not necessarily relating it directly to post-workout or post-training. And so that's really its purpose. It delivers 30 grams of whey protein isolate. I mean, it's a phenomenal flavor. I think with all of our products, we spend a lot of time kind of finessing the formulas so that they are a really great experience. I think one of the things that I've seen over the years with protein products, a lot of them just don't taste very good. And so ours is super palatable. I mean, we kind of spare no expense in delivering a super premium product. And that's generally the consensus around our P30 product. We have in the pipeline, coming out in 2024, a new product called P30 C30. P30 C30 is our answer, kind of the complement to the existing product, except it has carbohydrate in it. It is 30 grams of whey protein isolate combined with 30 grams of carbohydrate. And that is unlike the current P30, which comes in large kind of resealable bags. The P30 C30 is going to be an individual sachet. So you kind of have the P30 for kind of home use. And then post-training, you have a solution with the P30 C30 where you can take an individual serving, throw it in your car, and then at the end of your session, you can kind of grab one sachet and on be on your way. So we're really excited about that product that's launching. Should be April 2024 when we launch P30 C30. In re regard to your question around plant-based protein, we've elected to use whey protein isolate because it's the most complete protein. So from a pure performance perspective, that is the fundamental reason why we've launched with whey protein isolate. For those that don't know, isolate is it's processed and is basically a very pure form of protein that is for a lot of folks that have, like, for instance, a lactose intolerant. Most of the lactose is removed during the process. And that's one of the things that's really great about whether it's our P30 or our new P30 C30 is its palatability as well as its kind of ease of digestion. A lot of protein products, for myself included, kind of give me a stomach ache. And I think for a lot of people, they all complain about getting stomach aches from a lot of the whey protein concentrates that are on the market. But if you, for instance, a lot of the stuff that you would see in like a GNC or kind of like a bodybuilder type products, a lot of them are concentrate and will tend to give athletes a bit of stomach ache. You won't have that issue with the P30 or the P30 C30. In terms of plant protein, it's something that we are interested in developing. We haven't yet because we want to allow our current products to kind of fully develop and to build an audience. But I do think that for vegetarian, vegan athletes, at some point, pea protein will find its way into our arsenal. It's just important to do that with education, which is that how are you going to kind of supplement that product to make sure the athlete's getting adequate protein? And so I would say the science behind plant-based is improving day by day, and we expect that it will kind of be in a very good place to kind of launch the product in the next year or two.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through the role that nutrition plays in post-recovery or post-workout recovery and how Never Second products facilitate that process? And that obviously includes like fueling during your training as well as after.
Yeah, I think that's a, well, it's a really great question. And that's one of the things we notice with a lot of athletes that use our products is they will say, I generally feel better day by day. And a well-fueled athlete will recover better. A lot of athletes kind of separate the two into, okay, there's what I do during my session and there's what I do after, and everything after is recovery. But actually, if you're fueling all the way through your sessions and you're fueling properly, you're generally going to be able to kind of that repeatability of training sessions and feeling good more consistently is going to be a direct result of doing that. Beyond, once your session is complete, though, both carbohydrate and protein are an important part of recovery. A lot of athletes will put a heavy weight on protein, sometimes at the expense of carbohydrate, but the carbohydrate is also an important part of recovery. We look at the overall protein intake requirements for athletes. Also, we take into account the serving sizes and how much protein is in our products. We do this because we're kind of thinking about what is the overall kind of daily requirement recommendations for endurance athletes. And so we kind of take that into consideration when we build the product, the protein values that we use into our products.
Yeah, I think personally, everyone has different opinions, but inevitably a lot of times I'll get a lot of questions as a runner, with running directly related to weight loss, like running to lose weight, and the ask about fasted running. And that personally, I'm like, actually, you will probably have more trouble losing weight because you won't have energy to actually put out the energy output. And so if you could find a product, Q Never Second, something that you can take every day is not going to bother you. You're probably actually going to lose the weight that you're looking to lose, more effectively, essentially. So yeah, I think that's really important.
Well, it's, I think it's to, that brings up, and I think a really interesting point. There are within the athlete community, there's this, we do a lot of times encounter the weight conversation. It's like it happens all the time. And I think this, especially among endurance athletes, where there's this focus on lightness and whether it's in cycling, running, Ironman athletes, we do kind of, there is this perception behind carbohydrates going to make me heavy. And so there's an important distinction between like what we are performance fuel, what we're taking kind of, especially the fueling products during. It certainly doesn't replace a sound diet, but it's important to know like when, this is the fuel that you need to just perform the activity and to fuel your activity. And so, we're not recommending people are taking gels when they don't need them. It's really as a kind of fueling product. And it's important to kind of bear that in mind A lot of times, I think that lines between kind of sound diet and performance fuel can be blurred a bit. So, as an example, we'll tell athletes, before a competition, you may want to reduce your fiber intake for a couple of days before, because that tends to slow absorption of carbohydrate into your gut. And the reaction might be, well, fiber is part of a sound diet. And we're like, well, yes, it's part of a sound diet. This is not an everyday practice. This is something that you're doing as a in preparation for competition, which doesn't, and also kind of, we also don't recommend extreme behavior changes with athletes. It's kind of important to not change too dramatically or drastically from what you're currently doing, because your body may kind of resent what you're doing. So.
Yeah. And kind of on like a similar vein, why should everyday athletes use this product since we're talking kind of about the everyday athlete now? As an elite athlete, like I practice gels all the time, in my long runs, workouts that are over 90 minutes, I'm trying to do things so that I'm ready to race just like I'm ready to train. But I have like a hard time sometimes convincing my athletes that I coach that it's something that you need to do all the time and you need to be consistent with without like supplementing with other products that like aren't as high quality. And so yeah, I'm just curious, like why should everyday athlete use Never Second?
Well, that's a really great question, I think, that we get quite often. I think when we started as a brand, obviously we work with a lot of professional athletes and teams, and it's important for us not to be misunderstood. Our goal as a brand is to take professional protocol and simplify it and bring it to everyday athletes. There are only a very small percentage of athletes that are elite and professional, and the vast majority are not, but our products are premium, but they're not elitist, meaning that they're intended for all and they help everyone. And so it comes down, and sometimes our name, I think, can also throw people. And once the name Never Second, I think it inherently might arouse this kind of feeling of finishing first. But really, for us, that's not what it's about. It's about where our priorities are as a brand. And, for us, it's really about providing everyday athletes with the best possible outcome. And so not everyone is running a 210 marathon, 220 marathon, but they still want to have a great experience. I can tell you, we have, for instance, many athletes that came up to me at Ironman Florida, and they're age group athletes that or whose goal might have just been trying to finish. And I said, well, what's your fueling plan? And they're like, well, I'm going to take one gel an hour and I feel I should be good. And we know that they're underfueled. And if they want to have a better outcome and a better race and not feel horrible, they're going to have to probably change that protocol to kind of higher carbohydrate intake at the very least to improve their outcome and to have a more enjoyable race in this case. And so I think that's for us is important. I also, it's important to kind of not just use products on race day, but some athletes will say, well, how often should I use fueling products? For most amateur athletes, a couple of days a week is enough. We minimally recommend a minimal level of gut training. So using products once or twice a week is sufficient for most athletes. But they should be using it under a similar conditions that they would race under. So for instance, if an athlete's getting ready for a marathon, they've never used gels before, but they're doing a long run on Sundays. On that long run, which might be at a similar, like a sustained run where their effort might be kind of at near race pace, as example, or they might be going out for a longer. Definitely want to kind of be pushing the intensity if you're testing product, but they should be simulating their nutrition intake so that on race day they're used to it. It's not something new for them. A lot of times your body can also kind of not react as well on race day as it does during training. So for instance, with carbohydrate intake, although we may recommend 90, during a race, the athletes might be taking 100 or 110 grams an hour during training, and then they'll drop it back a little bit for race day, because you generally want to train a little bit beyond what you're doing on race day during your training. that you're used to it and you're really comfortable with it. Because even with a little bit of the jitters and nervousness that can come with racing, can sometimes force us to take kind of a slightly reduced intake than we should than we're using during training.
Yeah, I second that. You try and hit the gold standard during training. I love how the gold standard has increased, at least, within the community of what they talk about. I think, originally when I first started, it was like, if you can get 60 grams of carbs per hour, that'd be great. But now, getting closer to that 90, 90 plus. But personal experience in training, I can usually get 90 to 100 pretty easily. But in races, I go back to my chart. I'm like, I only got 65 to 70. So yeah, really nailing that down in practice, I think, is key. Speaking about, professional protocol and holding never second to the highest standards, we were curious if you one test for banned substance in your products, and what sort of like scientific studies do you do potentially on like an annual basis? Or does Oscar kind of lead that when he thinks it's time to refresh the information available?
Well, I think that when it comes to banned substances testing, we do individually test every batch of every product. It is a process for sure, and it's both expensive and it's but it's kind of necessary. I think we work with so many top level athletes that first of all, it's a requirement. At the same time, it's kind of the right thing to do. We want to make sure that we're kind of protecting athletes from, potentially accidental banned substance ingestion. I mean, the chances are super, super low. We use among the highest quality manufacturers of our products anywhere. We have a lot of experience in kind of evaluating facilities, and in a world where you can get things made inexpensively and maybe and not the best facilities, and then the other end of the spectrum, we're kind of at the other end of the spectrum where our facilities are more like pharmaceutical than they are manufacturing facilities. And then they go off for banned substances testing. I mean, the primary banned substances that we're looking for are stimulants and steroids. And so every batch is tested by Inform Sport and certified free of banned substances. It's always important to kind of put an asterisk there. The idea of free, there never is 100% guarantee, but we are testing, and the batches come back as banned substances free, and then they're cleared for use by athletes. With regard to ongoing testing, I guess we always are focused on research that supports product development. I mean, right now our core product line is primarily focused around fueling, where we're quite sure about the path we're in. I think what will be really interesting for us as a brand is, as we start to look towards innovation products, is where are we going to get those ideas from? I think the one thing we want to do as a brand is avoid pseudoscience, which is kind of developing things that don't really work based on flimsy science. And that is always probably, and then, but you, and then when you talk about efficacy, proving out that efficacy. And so, and not using kind of science as weapons. I think, there are a range of scientists running around talking. We talked earlier about the different carbohydrate ratios and this high carb buzzword about athletes able to take 150 grams an hour based on 1 to 0.8. And we always have to ask, well, who are you talking to? An amateur athlete has no use for the data you're talking about, because you're talking about the very, very, very tip of the spear of professional athletes. And so we don't want to build products that are just based on kind of like screaming from the rooftops about some pseudoscience or some that doesn't really apply to normal people. And I think it's important when we develop our line to always be thinking about the everyday athlete. And that's everyone from your, I'm doing my first marathon all the way to your top professional athletes. And that's, our products are really built to kind of cover that 99.5%. And then you've got that very small tip of the spear where I think some of the products we're working on right now are also a matter of kind of filling gaps to kind of, we talked earlier about like heavy sodium sweaters. So one of the new innovation products we're coming out with this year is a sodium additive. Why are we doing that? Well, We know there are some athletes that have had to comp or augment our C90 or our even our C30 drink mixes and take a 600 milligram sodium drink mix and boost it up to, 1.5 or 2 grams. And we want to make sure that we are able to kind of fulfill that complete need with our own products that we are 100% sure of, and so that we are able to kind of provide a full experience and a full suite of products and assortment to the athlete that gives them a full solution. And that's really important for us as a brand. That's kind of like talking about like what's coming. I know we haven't talked about that yet, but that's one of the cool products that we're really excited about.
I'm sure that you get feedback from elite athletes all the time. So I'm curious, in terms of the everyday athlete, what feedback or success stories have you received from athletes who have effectively implemented your products in their training or racing?
Oh gosh, I mean, that's a really great question. We receive probably at least like 5 emails a day from athletes that tell us these kind of like success stories. And they're incredible. I read every one of them, respond to all of them. They're amazing stories. I'll give you like one that just an amazing story. So there was an athlete who came to us through one of our coaches. His name is Elliot Bach from NextGen, and he's a coach that we work with, a triathlon coach. And so this athlete came up to us right before Kona. So she was competing as an age group athlete in Kona. It's the big stage for Ironman athletes, for those who don't know. It's a pretty big stage for them. It's their most important event of the year, possibly of their lifetime. And it's not one to screw up in their minds. And so she met me at our expo, and she started so she said, "Look, Elliot told me to come over here," and we started talking, and she's like, "Look, I'm not really thrilled with my current nutrition. This is what I'm currently doing. I know I shouldn't change nutrition before Kona, but it's right before Kona." And then 5 minutes later, she was telling us she had Crohn's disease. And so of course every alarm is going off, like, I hope that, our advice here is good, and she's going to be happy that she potentially used our product. So we kind of warned against it, but she was quite sure that she was really dissatisfied with the current nutrition and thought she would give Never Second a try. She did. And 3 weeks later, I saw her in Ironman, Florida, maybe 4 weeks later. And she was like, "You have a customer for life. Everything worked beautifully, and I only use Never Second." And that is a, we love those true stories. They're so inspirational for us. We're able to actually make a concrete, real difference in what they're doing, and we see those great stories every day. I mean, really every day. I love getting them because they just, you could be having a less than perfect day, and then you see some of those emails, and they just kind of like, that's kind of what pushes us forward.
Yeah, that's I feel like that would make it all worth it if you just got one of those every now and then
Oh yeah,
easily.
totally. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, and they're from all types of athletes. A lot of them, everyday athletes for sure.
Yeah. We are curious, so you like you said, you do a lot of trade shows, potentially are going to be at more trail events this upcoming year, just seeing how the calendar shakes out. And when people come up to you, which products do you recommend, and in general, would you recommend for people trying Never Second for the first time?
So we did a lot of events this past year, and we're doing even more this year. Because as a brand, we're kind of whatever works well, we do more of, and whatever isn't working so well, we do less of. And I think we're kind of like very practical like that. Events were really good for us because what we noticed, like, we did a lot of like Lifetime events this year, and Lifetime is a really great promoter that we, do a lot of their events. And they athletes would come over to our booth, and where they might talk to another nutrition company and, be talking about like, "What flavor of gel do you want?" They were coming and saying, "What should I do?" And we would have 10-minute conversations with them, and they would leave thrilled with the result. And for us, that just makes us really happy. And then in any given expo, we would have 50 customers or potential customers or athletes walk away and say, this is the brand for me. And that's been really pivotal for us and really critical for us as a brand and kind of building a following. I think we have a very loyal cult following, which I'm sure is going to hopefully grow this coming year. And so that's, we get a real thrill out of it. We love doing the events. We love being in the field with athletes. I think a lot of brands kind of focus on the digital world. We can't disregard it. It's important. But for us, we really enjoy and prefer the real world. And I think, and we love, again, we love being with athletes. As athletes, we love being some of the most positive, upbeat, coolest people you'll ever meet. So we love it. In terms of what we recommend, we listen and try and understand where they're coming from. You know, that's probably the hardest part in the beginning. Like a lot of athletes will come to us with, this is what I'm doing. And they're listening. And then you have other ones that are saying, hey, I'm totally open-minded to what you suggest. Or I know so and so. They told me this is the best products. I should be here. Tell me what to do. And so we have all sorts, and they all end up being really interesting conversations. And so in terms of what to recommend, it just depends on what they're doing. So like if they're runners, we have to talk about like what's the practicality? What are they going to carry? What are they going to encounter in terms of aid stations? Are they carrying using a hydration pack? What are their fluid needs? And we try and help them not just like know what to do for that day, but kind of like how to think about things for the long term so that there's a basis for kind of a basis to kind of build a relationship that and they can start to have success with the products. And that's probably the most important part. We also see a lot of retailers when we're on the roads, which is a kick too. We love kind of seeing what happens at retail too. So
I think that's definitely the advantage to the simplicity of the products is that like there's only so many that you have to offer in the first place. So it's not like a complicated conversation that you're having. It's more of just like, what are you like thinking about? And here's what we have to offer. And here's the ways that you could stack them that we might think is best. And I think that is really great because there is so many confusing just things out there. A lot of fads, a lot of things to follow. So I think that's awesome. And then other than the new protein coming out in April, are there any other products that you guys are excited about in 2024 that you want to highlight?
yes, we are really excited. I mean, each year that we've only been around now for 2 years, so we're, when I say each year, it's the one other. We launched this past year. We always have innovation products and kind of like rounding out the arsenal. So in 2023, we did kind of rounding out gel flavors, and we launched the ice gel as kind of an innovation product. As we look into 2024, we have both some kind of rounding out the assortment, some flavor additions and things. And then we also have some innovation products. So on the flavor additions, we have launching in our C30 energy gels, a orange flavor, which is launching in about 30 days. That is kind of, we're looking for something that's super palatable, kind of low in flavor profile, slightly less acidic than the citrus. The citrus is our top seller, but we want something that's super mild and distinctly different, and that's where orange kind of fills that space. On the caffeinated side, caffeinated gels, that is, we currently have cola and espresso. Both of them, I would say, are, I mean, the cola is quite popular. Espresso is really popular in certain regions of the world. Latin America, it does amazingly. Italy and Spain, it's incredible. Northern Europe and in the US, we can't give espresso away, so it really just depends on where you are. The cola is doing really well, but it's also can be a bit of a kind of, well, what is that? And so we're launching a berry with caffeine, which to us is kind of taking our existing berry flavor and adding caffeine to it, so it's a very familiar, palatable flavor that a lot of people will like. Within the drink mixes, there has been a long-standing frustration with athletes about how come we only have one flavor of C90, and so we're launching C90 in orange. Tastes pretty good. It's quite mild and nice, and that's something that we're super excited for as well. That's launching in about 3 months. Then I also mentioned the P30, C30, which is the protein and carbohydrate-based recovery. And then we're also launching the sodium additive. So that's kind of, as we look towards 2024, we have both some flavor additions to kind of round out the portfolio, and then we've got a couple of innovation products that we're really excited about.
I'm stoked on that orange C90 flavor.
Pretty good. I think it's going to be great. Thank you. I hope you like it. I'll have to send you.
Yeah.
Hope you
My
love it.
brain automatically thinks of Otter Pops and Tang. Like, this is awesome.
You know, I wish we could make it taste like Tang. Tang's one of my favorite drinks. We have to. It's an important with our drink mixes, a lot of athletes will come to us, and it's probably just an important, I'll just take a second on it, but a lot of athletes will come to us. The drink mixes are probably the most understood part of our product line. A lot of athletes just at expos will come up and be like, wow, your gels are like a dessert. I'm in love. You give them the drink mixes and they're like, oh, and they were expecting a soft drink, I think. And so just a moment on that. It's a really important part. You know, when we develop a drink mix, we spend a lot of time thinking about what is this like in motion, not what is this like at a desk. And so your flavor and taste buds are completely different in exercise than you are sitting at your desk. You also want to develop the drink mixes to be super mild. The flavor profile has to be really kind of low, really mild flavor profile. And we also build them as pH neutral. So they don't kind of have a lot of things that people like about soft drinks. So let's take, I'm not going to pick on Gatorade, but let's just say like a typical soft drink type product is that it's going to typically, what they like about it is the sweetness, the saltiness, kind of the sourness and the acidic quality. They like all of those things, which are fine for a soft drink, but not necessarily for a performance beverage. And so by being pH neutral and kind of starchy, not sweet, our drink mixes can take a little bit of getting used to because the expectation is kind of like a bit warped. And so what we're trying to do is kind of introduce people to the right way to think about performance beverages. And that's kind of like how we look at our drink mixes and how we hope that consumers and athletes will start to look at them as well.
Yeah, and I can say from personal experience, I used to be extremely turned off of drink mixes because it was almost too much all the time going on in the mouth, like during the race, where I feel that you need a break mentally from the constant sweetness and heightened flavors, etc. So I think that is obviously a great call. All right, last question, just to wrap it up. With Never Second, like, what role do you see you playing in this constantly evolving performance nutrition industry, i.e., like, 3 years, 5 years from now, what is the goal of Never Second as things are, continue to grow?
Well,
Super
I'm.
easy last question, I know.
Oh no, it's a great question. I love the question. You're going to see it as a performance athlete or former performance athlete. You're going to hear the competitive side come out. So careful. We definitely are competitive, but not without. But we're balancing that with our integrity. You know, one of the things that coming into this field that I always wondered was, and I've seen it with other brands in my past career, it was always, why do brands come in with certain intentions and then pivot? Like, why can't they just stay true to the audience that they were founded to serve? And so they start, you know, I'll give an example. Power Bar started out of the California and states in the, I think it was 80s, I think. And at some point, it's just more of a curiosity. At some point, they're in gas stations, and then we look at how does the athlete community kind of react to that? And I think for the performance athlete, they're like, is what I'm consuming special anymore? That becomes the kind of this question, right? And then we've seen the same, you know, the same thing again and again and again, and we're just kind of like, look, performance foods oftentimes become afternoon snacks. And then they're no longer a performance food anymore. And for us, we're like, can we build a brand that is really meaningful and trustworthy and stick to our plan and do it our way? And yes, we probably won't get the valuation that a mass brand is going to get. We know we're niche. We know that. We know who we are. But we can still be successful on our own terms. And that's probably our goal. I mean, if you were to say to me, what's our goal? It's to do to kind of get better at what we're doing, refine our process a bit, make great products, and maintain our integrity, and manage to grow. Of course, I mean, we're a for-profit business, and we certainly want to grow the business to being a certain size, and that's definitely something that we're excited about. But again, I think our integrity is probably the is kind of guiding us and making sure that we kind of stay true to this community. And we've done a lot to kind of build trust within this community, and we know it's very easy to lose that. And for us, it's really important to keep that trust.
Yeah.
Well, I have learned a lot today, and hopefully our listeners will have learned a lot about Never Second as well, and just your guys' background as well as where you're trying to go in the space. We definitely want to have Bill back for a Q&A session, probably a month or so after this releases, maybe a little bit longer. So we will definitely be putting out some stuff on our Instagram. And maybe on Never Seconds as well, just to get the questions rolling in, so that we can give you guys more information on that. And yeah, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a little bit today, Bill.
I thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I love talking to you both, and look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thanks. Don't forget to like and subscribe. This has been the SubHub podcast brought to you by Free Trail.
Just a reminder that if you want to try Never Second, just head to neversecond.com. That's NEVER2.com and use code SUBHUB25 at checkout for a 25% discount on all your orders.